Hey folks, and welcome to episode 9 of The Scotland Show. Thank you so much for coming and listening to me speak. 9 episodes in, 9 weeks in since I started this, and it's been an exciting week because this is the week that we passed 1,000 downloads for the first time. So if you're somebody that's downloaded or listened to any of the podcasts in the past, thank you so much. If you're new to the show, welcome, and I hope you enjoy it. Anyone that hasn't subscribed on iTunes or on Android or any of the platforms there, please do so. And also anyone that leaves a review, I love you, basically. I just really love you. I think on iTunes now we have 23 five-star reviews or something along those lines. If we can get that to 30 with you lovely people listening this week, that would be amazing. Now, on this week's show, I've got a few different news and weird and funny articles that have come up. A few have been sent to me, a few I've found myself. But if I'm totally honest, I ran out a bit of time, and so I haven't prepared any notes for this show. All I've been able to do is get some tabs up on my computer of things that I want to speak about. So this will be interesting to see how it goes. First of all, the football is on in the background. Currently, Uruguay are beating Saudi Arabia 1-0. It is World Cup fever. The World Cup. I absolutely love the World Cup. Nothing beats being able to, because I work from home, sit and work whilst the football is on in the background. I absolutely love the World Cup. But you know what? I'm Scottish. And being Scottish and the World Cup doesn't really go together, unfortunately. Looking at Scotland's stats from the last World Cups, you know, it's not great. It's not really great. It's 20 years ago since Scotland were last in a World Cup. 20 years ago, 1998, we were in the group stages along with Brazil, Norway and Morocco. We lost 2-1 to Brazil. We drew 1-1 with Norway and we lost 3-0 to Morocco. So we didn't even get a win in our last World Cup. The last time we got a win in the World Cup was 1990 against Sweden. We beat them 2-1 in Genoa. And if I'm honest, I don't know if these stats are real because I was born in 1994, so I can't remember either World Cups, and I'm using Wikipedia for this. So I could be wrong, but, you know, being Scottish in the World Cup is kind of sucks, which maybe leads to the question, Gav, who are you supporting? Are you supporting England? The big question. Let's just say I am supporting Iceland. I want Iceland to go as far as possible in this World Cup. If I look at Iceland's World Cup record, that could be interesting. Let's try and get that up right now. There's something about Iceland that I love, just the fact that it's a small country, it's north of Scotland, it kind of reminds me of Shetland a little bit. It's quite cool to see them do well as they did last time. I can't get any stats of Iceland's World Cup record, never mind. Or was it the Euros that they did well? I can't remember. Anyway, I like Iceland. Iceland are cool. And that's who I'm supporting this World Cup. But to be honest, the World Cup to me is kind of like English football. I don't really follow anyone. I'm not really bothered who wins. I just want to see some good matches. So if Scotland were in it, that would be much better. But they're not. And it's sad. But that is the World Cup. And that is being Scottish. Kind of just always a little bit disappointing. Anyway, let's get on to some of this week's news. I've got 3 different articles here that I want to talk about this week. World Cup being one of them. In fact, no, that's a lie. With the World Cup involved, that's 4. But the first article. So, bearing in mind, I don't have any notes for the show. It's purely just kind of looking at articles as I go along because I kind of ran out of time this week. But in the UK, and I could be wrong with it, so I'm not sure. They've basically been trying to pass a law about upskirting, which is essentially taking a photo under somebody's skirt, up their skirt. Now, if I'm right, that is illegal in Scotland as it currently, but it's not illegal in England. And so they're trying to get that in England and Wales, I believe. Now, there's a BBC article came out yesterday, actually, 19th of June, titled "Upskirting Ban Also Protects Men in Kilts." Men wearing kilts will be protected from a new ban on upskirting in England and Wales, a government spokeswoman has said. Baroness Vera of Norbiton said the proposed law would protect the bodily dignity of both men and women. She told the Lords this would include kilt upskirting as she briefed them about the government's plans. I wonder if the whole kind of being a true Scotsman came into this argument at all. Is it okay to take a picture up someone's kilt if they are not a true Scotsman, they're wearing boxers? I don't know. But it's interesting that the kilt has come into all of this, and it's interesting to see where it comes. So it says, Baroness Vere said, this statute actually protects all men and women and their bodily dignities, as it does indeed include kilt upskirting, which I only recently became aware of. So I was right, in Scotland, a ban, which refers to operating equipment under people's clothing, has been in place since 2009. So Scotland has had this upskirting law since 2009, but in England and Wales, they haven't. I just like the idea that they've thought about kilts in this. I think it's quite funny. It's a serious topic, obviously, but it's quite funny that they're actually thinking about kilts in this as well, because I hadn't really thought about it. But saying that, Scottish men, I think, quite like showing the fact that they've what they've got under their kilts, especially if they're a true Scotsman. I think that's a sign of, I think it's something that Scottish men are proud to do, proud not to wear anything under their kilt. But again, flashing that is probably an offence in itself. So let's move on to something slightly less, I was going to say ballsy, something slightly less ballsy. This one is an interesting one. It's a video game is coming, Xbox only, I believe, which will transform Edinburgh's most famous landmarks. Now, this one was sent to me on Instagram, and I'm just trying to find the conversation that I had around this with the person that sent it to me. But essentially, Forza Horizon 4, which is a racing game on the Xbox, I've never played it before, but I have heard of it, is coming and is being set in Edinburgh. So let me again just read this article. Most people in the capital associate Princes Street with countless tourists and busy traffic. Princes Street, for those of you who haven't been to Edinburgh or don't know, is the main kind of shopping street, the main street in Edinburgh. But a major new video game is set to transform Scotland's most iconic thoroughfare into the perfect urban car racing track. So the famous streets in Edinburgh's New Town and the iconic landmarks in Edinburgh, such as the Scott Monument and Edinburgh Castle, are all going to feature in this game, Forza Horizon 4, which is one of the world's most popular racing game franchises, which is amazing, which is really cool. Like I say, I've never played it, but it's cool to see that Edinburgh and Scotland are getting a bit of... They're getting shown, they're getting seen to the world in video games, which I don't know how many other games have been set in Edinburgh, how many other games have been kind of set in Scotland. I know the likes of Rockstar Games were founded in Edinburgh or Dundee, and so they haven't even featured in the games. I'm speaking utter rubbish. Anyway, so the Edinburgh's been chosen as the game's featured city, following in the footsteps of Nice in France and Genoa in Italy and other previous Forza games. And Ralph Fulton, the chief creative officer of the game's developer Playground, said, "Choosing the city we feature in Horizon Games is always a big decision for us. We're looking for a city which is beautiful to be in and fun to drive around." And he said, "For my money, Edinburgh is the most beautiful city in the UK, and its road network had just the right combination of surface and elevation changes to make it fun for racing and exploring." He goes on to say, "I worked in Edinburgh for 3 years earlier in my career, and blasting down Princes Street past the Scott Monument is a real thrill for me. I think it will be for our millions of fans too." Well, what you're saying there, Ralph, in terms of Edinburgh being the most beautiful city in the UK, I totally agree with you. Although I'd probably go as far as saying Edinburgh is the most beautiful city in the world. I lived in Edinburgh for 4 years now, personally, and I've just totally fallen in love with the city. There's not many cities or places in the world that you can go to and say, yeah, we've just got a castle sitting on an extinct volcano. There's not many places you can drive 5 minutes and be in the countryside either. Edinburgh is just such an incredible city. One thing I would say is with the potholes, Edinburgh Council, and the cobbled streets, good luck trying to race on them. Also, Edinburgh streets are mental. Like I've lived in Edinburgh for 4 years now, and still struggle to find my way around because there's all these different alleys and Edinburgh seems to be on different layers. So you can be somewhere in Edinburgh and you want to get somewhere else. But you don't just have to walk from A to B. You have to go up a hill, down a hill, up a hill, down a hill. And sometimes you find yourself in the wrong place, even though you've followed a map. Because I remember once during the festival, it was in August, and I was trying to find this venue for a comedy show that I was going to. And I was bang on where this venue was, and I couldn't find out which door it was or where I had to go for this comedy thing. I thought it was maybe cancelled. Anyway, turns out I was standing on a bridge, and the comedy show was happening under the bridge in a building under the bridge. So it just kind of goes to show Edinburgh is like a layered city, especially the old town of Edinburgh, where you've got like layer on layer on layer on layer. It's an amazing city. And I hope I don't have an Xbox, I've got a PlayStation, but I hope I get to have a go at that. It'd be quite fun, as Ralph said, to nail it down Princes Street. Now, that's pretty cool. Something that's maybe not pretty cool, but I thought I'd cover and talk about anyway, is an article came out today, actually, in the BBC, which said adults in Scotland drink almost 20 units a week. Now, when I say a drink, obviously being Scotland, that's alcohol. I wonder what it would be if you added Iron Brew to that. More than 10 litres of pure alcohol was drunk last year for every adult in Scotland, a report on the nation's drinking has revealed. The amount of drink sold was the equivalent to each adult drinking 19.6 units a week, NHS Health Scotland said. Now, the UK recommended limit is 14 units a week for men and women, so Scotland are above the recommended as a whole. Now, with all these things, you never know with the stats because small percentages of the population can increase these stats, etc. So you never really know with these stats, but it's interesting, and it's a bad thing that Scots are drinking more than everyone else, although it's probably something that you could have guessed without me telling you or without this study being commissioned. I'm someone that doesn't drink a lot, to be honest, and I'm sorry, but I don't like Iron Brew and I don't like whiskey. Call me not Scottish, if you will, but it's true. I don't like Iron Brew and I don't like whiskey. Going on, reading this article, it says Lucy Giles, the lead author of the report, said the research highlighted that alcohol was still a significant public health concern. Almost half, 47% of alcohol sold in shops and supermarkets last year cost less than 50p per unit, which is the new minimum unit price for drink, which was brought in to the Scottish Government in May. So now in Scotland, you have to pay at least 50p per unit of alcohol, which obviously is increasing the cost of alcohol in some drinks and to some people. So, I mean, like I say, I'm not a big drinker, and so any of these stats that come out about drinking, I just think it's a bit of a shame that we have this problem, really, these alcohol-related problems. The article goes on to talk about how many people. So more than 24,000 people were admitted to hospital for a drink-related condition 2016-2017, with a total more of 36,000 inpatient stays recorded over the course of the year. The scale of the problem means alcohol-related hospital admissions are 4.4 times higher than they were in the 1980s. That's really interesting to me. So the problem is actually getting worse. I wonder how or why that is. I don't know. I don't know, and it's kind of weird speaking about a serious topic actually in this podcast because it's always been funny and weird and interesting things. But I do think the alcohol problem in Scotland, I don't know, growing up in school, alcohol was, and this might be everywhere, I don't know, it's just my experience, but alcohol was certainly one of those things that if you didn't do it, if you didn't drink alcohol, then you weren't one of the cool ones. And so you were kind of peer pressured, or it was just the norm to start drinking at the ages of like 16, 15, 16, 17. I don't know what it's like elsewhere, but that was kind of the norm here. And maybe it's to say that there's an educational problem in Scotland with alcohol, or maybe the problem's everywhere. Maybe the problem's everywhere. I don't know the stats. I'm purely just going off this article that was out on the BBC today. I had a look at Reddit to see what other people were saying, and obviously, Reddit being Reddit, they were saying, "Oh, well, I'm only drinking 5 units a week, so I better get up to that 14 recommended units." I'm just checking out the comments in this BBC article as well. You know what? It's just a load of rubbish, really. just a load of rubbish. I don't know what else you expect in, on the comments section of news sites. Anyway, that was an interesting end to the show. Didn't really expect to get into something serious on this, but who cares? I enjoyed it. I hope you've enjoyed these 15 minutes with me. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, if you could go and leave a 5-star review, that would be incredible. I'd appreciate it so much. If there's anyone that you think might like this podcast, share it with them. And I'm getting a lot of love from people over in America right now. So if you've got any friends over in the States, please share this with them. And the last thing I was going to say is, if you have any articles or any news or anything that you think might be interesting for me to cover on this show, please send it over to me on Instagram, probably easiest, or Facebook at Mr. Gavin Bell. So my username everywhere is at Mr. Gavin Bell. This has been a pleasure. I hope you've enjoyed it. Have an amazing day, whatever you're doing. And what's left to say? Have fun, be happy. See you next week.